article written by Pastor Henry Mahan, who's gone on to be with the Lord, and he takes his thoughts from 1 John chapter 5, 11 through 12, and these words are, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Henry writes, "This is the record," it says. Declared the Apostle John, "This is the sum and the substance of all that is written and preached. God, out of His pure free grace, is pleased to give unto us eternal life. This life is the spiritual life lost in the fall, life forever free from sin, sorrow, and death. This life is in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This life is not only purposed in Him, promised through Him, and purchased by Him, but He is that life." Colossians 3:4. He that has the redeeming Christ, the interceding Christ, the indwelling Christ has life. Plain and simple.
Amen.
I'd like you to ask you to open your Bibles this morning to 2 Peter chapter 2. You might want to put a little marker in there. I think, if I remember right, my notes that we might leave it for just a moment, but we will come back to it. The yellow pollen in the air is really settling into my lungs. I take an allergy pill, so it didn't bother me too bad, but you'll forgive me for having to clear my throat once in a while. Take a moment, if you would, after you've turned to your scriptures there in 1 Peter chapter 2. Take for just a moment, if you would, and consider the wonder of God's creation. Isn't it amazing how we have oceans that suck up the moisture from all that water into clouds? Those clouds travel across the land, and as it comes across the land, it drops that water in a pure form, filtered form, as you might say, and it waters the land, and things grow. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing. Amazing.
A baby. I've been seeing a lot of stuff lately about children in the womb. I have to be reminded that my position is to talk about our Lord, because I get kind of carried away about abortion. And I'm not going to go there this morning, but I've been seeing a lot of stuff about babies in the womb. I guess it's kind of because my granddaughter is about to have a child. I'm going to be great at something. I'm going to be a great grandfather. I remember Gene saying that, and it never really clicked to me what he meant until now. I'm going to be a great-grandfather. And there's this little teeny child, a living being in my granddaughter's inner parts. And it has fingers. It has ears. We're talking about God's creation. It has a mind. The Lord will give it the breath of life, and it will have a soul.
He does.
That's amazing to me. I don't know why this is more amazing now than it was when my children were born. I think I was too busy working, maybe, at the time. Oh, yeah, that's good. Glad you're having a baby child. I've got to go back to work. Take a moment and consider the wonders of our great God's creation. The lands, the seas, the elements, the rule of natural things. Aren't you thankful that when an apple falls from a tree, it falls down? What chaos there would be if we were all floating around like we were on the moon or something. All these things that a great and wise God created going together to supply man's needs. We can go a step further and consider these bodies that our Lord has given us. Ears that hear, a nose that can smell, etc., etc., etc. What a wonder of His great wisdom. My thoughts are drawn to these words in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. My title this morning is Tasted Grace. You folks know I like pie. I also like chocolate. So chocolate pie is even better. But man, you know, sometimes you take a piece of chocolate. Oh, I thought about this. Could you imagine what it was like for the first natives to some island somewhere? Somebody came along on a ship and gave them a piece of chocolate for the first time. Could you imagine what that native must have thought? Wow! What a taste! That's kind of the way chocolate is for me. I can't help myself. Every once in a while I got to get a chocolate bar and have one just because I love the taste. It is so good. In verse 2, our Lord says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Desire the sincere milk of the word. There's going to come a moment when that child is born and comes into this world. It's going to need nourishment. It's going to need something because it's no longer part of its mother's body. It's now outside of that body that little child, and I don't know what it is yet, by the way. I think my granddaughter's having some kind of a party next Saturday. And y'all are invited if you want to come down to find out what she's having. Kids nowadays, any reason to party, it's called a reveal party. It's not the baby shower thing, so don't bring gifts. But come down and have some hot dogs and hamburgers and find out what kind of a grandchild we're going to have. But that grandchild, that great-grandchild is going to need some substance to help it grow. Imagine the wonder of the mother's milk that child will want, desire, and must have that it might grow. This is what you and I need. This is what we do coming to church on Sundays, Bible study on Friday nights, sitting down and listening to a message recorded or whatever. When we go into the Lord's Word, we are desiring the milk of the Word. The sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That our faith may be supported, encouraged, not through something that you and I might do, but through God's Word, helping us to face the troubles that we go through in this world. Consider this picture our Lord has given us in these words. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. A child is born in such weakness, undeveloped, Everything is just getting started. It's a break-in time for it. Those of us who ride Harleys, we know this in a way, or ride any kind of a motorcycle. You've got to drive it and take it nice and easy for the first 500 miles. Well, you don't want to give a child, newborn, a lemon. And some fathers aren't too smart. Thank God my children had a good mother. She knocked me up right side of the head and said, "Don't do that again." You can't give a newborn child meat, a steak. They need something soft. Isn't that amazing how God created a liquid form to come from the mother that would give this child all the nutrition that they would need? Isn't it amazing that God Almighty would give His children a form that would feed them in their childhood? These bodies must have a break-in period. We don't come out of the womb running, do we? Our nutrition is also important. The stomach must be developed. The digestive system must be tuned to accept the things that we will use for fuel as we get older, as we grow. What a creation. This nutritional fluid called milk, designed by the One of all wisdom to grow a newborn into a healthy living child. All the needs of the body that the body requires in a nutrition, but yet gentle and sensitive to the organs as they develop. And here our great God gives you and I a picture of His Word as the nutrition needed for the souls of men and women. Our Lord says this in Matthew 11, verses 29 and 30. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Oh, the burden of trying to earn salvation on your own. You know why the priests of old went in every year? Because the work was never done. They had to do it over and over and over every year, because the work was never done. Yet by the offering of one, by the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ, one time, it was effectual. He purged us by Himself, and then He sat down at the right hand of the Father. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me," it says, "for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It sounds like milk, doesn't it, for a child? The gospel of Christ, the good news for sinners, is like milk to a newborn. Warm to the taste, it fills the belly, and it provides all that we need to be sustained as we go through this life. I shared this in Bible study, but the message that was left for me by Leanne, Polly's niece, she closed the message by praising God for all that He brings her way. Even though she is suffering right now from the COVID herself, and many of the members of her family, and her husband, who is in ICU right now in the hospital, she praised the Lord.
Amen.
Our walk through this life is clouded by the flesh and drained by sin, bringing us to our Lord for nourishment. I come to the Word every week because I need to be nourished. When I first started coming here, Kathy goes, "Why are you going back to church again?" I don't know. I need to go. I really didn't know. I know now because I needed nourishment. I needed to hear my Lord walking around. You figure out how many hours a week and a month that we spend into the Lord's Word. Figure out how much you spend there. Some more than others. Most, not very many. I know, I'm your pastor. I should spend more time, huh? I should. But I don't spend as much as I could. I need to be in the Word of the Lord, and when I am in the Word of the Lord, I feel peace in my soul.
Amen.
Peace that my Lord, it reminds me of who it is that's in control. It reminds me of who's got me. Despite the wickedness that I see in my own flesh, it reminds me that I stand in His righteousness. I stand in the blood that was shed on the cross for my sake. And you, if you belong to the Lord, stand in the very same thing. Just as Bill Parker said last night in his message, we stand in Christ perfect before God. I know that's hard to see. I know it's hard to tell, especially going out into the world and spending all that time seeing as we are in the flesh. I need the milk of the Word. Our life is clouded by the flesh. We're drained by sin, and it brings us to our Lord for nourishment. As newborn are drawn to their mother for the milk of life, we are drawn to the Word of life, the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17, it says this, listen carefully, hear the Word of God. So then, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by what? By what men can do? By coming down to the front of the church and praying a prayer? By getting in a baptismal? No, it doesn't say that at all. What does it say? Hearing by the Word of God. And the Word of God points us to Christ and Christ alone. Consider the word desire for a moment. It means to have a need. What happens to a baby if you don't feed it? Mamas know. Some of his daddies turned our heads and didn't listen, but mamas know. Got to feed it. Got to have that nourishment of the Word, don't they? Consider the word desire. A baby desires the milk of its mother just as you and I desire the Word of truth. It means to have a need, to long for, to burn within. Two men were on the road to Emmaus, and the Lord hid Himself of who He truly was to them, and He walked with them for several miles, talking and telling them and expounding to them the Scriptures. And what was He expounding in the Scriptures? The things concerning Himself. Not the things of, well, you know, you really need to start feeding the poor. You really need to stop doing that. You need to stop. No, it was expounding the things of Christ. What the Lord Jesus would do. And from the beginning of Scriptures, our Lord has taught, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer the death for my people. And then after it was all over, after the long walk and the expounding, and He expounded through all the Scriptures, all of the Moses, the books of Moses, and all the other prophets, all the things. That means they spent a little bit of time walking, didn't they? There's a lot there in the Old Testament. After all that was over, they were sitting around afterwards, and this is what they said in Luke 24, verse 32. And they said one to another, the two disciples, did not our heart burn within us? The desire of the milk of the Word. Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us what? The Scriptures. As newborn children, we must have milk to nourish our bodies. We must have the Word of our Savior to nourish our souls. Notice in verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. What does that mean? To understand grace, one must truly know, first off, why they need grace. Folks, when Adam fell, you and I fell in him. God is so holy that those who are left to themselves, those who are not children of God, and I don't mean you can make yourself a child of God, I'm saying those who are not children of God. If you're a child of God, you have been one since before the world ever began. You just didn't know it. You just didn't know it until the Lord brought you under the preaching of His gospel. But He died. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world for our sakes, before we were ever born. And if you're a child of God, you will have the revelation of how this flesh stands before God. It is a flesh full of sin, dead in trespasses and sin. That's what the Scripture says. In order to understand grace, you must understand your worthlessness. The worthlessness that we all are in the flesh. Left to our flesh, we will perish, and there will be many in that state. But few. A few have God chosen, His elect, to be recipients of His love, to be vessels of mercy, is how the Scriptures put it. Vessels of mercy. Receiving His grace. And when you see yourself for what you are, when the Lord has given us a revelation of what we are before Him, we see His grace magnified bigger than anything we can imagine in our own minds. Think of the grace that God became flesh for you and I and provided Himself our sacrifice. And then the grace that God shed His own blood for us. Think about that in your hearts. Is that not precious to you? Have you tasted the grace of God? Do you desire the milk of His Word? Our Lord said this in Matthew 11:25, and at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. And hast revealed them to babes. Oh, what it is to be a babe in Christ and desire the milk of the word of truth. In the book of Luke, Mary is singing a song of praise to her Savior for His goodness to her. And she cries out this in Luke chapter 1, verse 53. He, her Lord, hath filled the hungry with good things. Are you hungry for the Word? In verse 1 of chapter 2, we read this, wherefore. This is to point us to what has just been said before. Wherefore, meaning what I just told you there, wherefore, it means this. Wherefore, laying aside all of that. Go to verse 1 of chapter 1 with me of this epistle. And may God be pleased to fill us with His Word. Look at verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, we're studying this Peter, his path that the Lord has put him on in our Bible studies on Sunday mornings. And we're going to get to this epistle one of these days. It's been 2 years almost now on the path that the Lord has been leading him on. And we read this, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers, to God's people, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect, called, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Peter is addressing God's people. He's addressing Israel, the called, those that were scattered about going through much trials, just as it is today. Robert Hawker wrote this. He says, "Reader, the oftener I read this precious verse, the more my soul becomes impressed with the sublime truths that are contained in it. Was there ever a form of words chosen or can be chosen to express the plainest and most palpable truths than here is used? Both to show and to manifest the existence of three distinct personalities of the Godhead and their distinct office characters as revealed to the Church of God in Christ. What can more fully prove the joint operation of the Holy Three in One by the way of defining their distinct personalities in the same time? What more fully show their oneness in all essential nature and design and in their merciful tendencies to the Church?" We see, end of quote, we see his address to the elect as an address to us all, to the called out, the church, the assembly. But here is the gospel declared right out front. It says, "Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." Why? Why should grace be unto you? Why should your peace be multiplied? Because of the foreknowledge of God. He knew you before the world ever was. That means everything's going right along as he has planned it. Everything that has happened before you and I has been happening just so you and I would be right where we are today. That's the way God does things. Everything according to his counsel. Everything according to his will. He rules it all. Why should you have peace and grace be multiplied? Because of the sanctification of the Spirit, as it says in verse 2 there. It is the Spirit that sets us apart. We don't make a decision for Jesus and set ourselves apart. Christ Almighty sets us apart from the world. He's the one who makes us holy. That's what that word means, sanctified. Set apart, made holy. He's the one who has made us holy. There's nothing holy in this flesh. But we have a perfect holiness in our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Why should grace and peace be multiplied to you? Because of the sanctification, because the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ the Son, being sprinkled on the mercy seat of which Christ is the mercy seat. He says, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy." And because of his blood being sprinkled on that mercy seat, yes, God did have to become flesh. He couldn't just say it was so from before time. He had to be made flesh so that he could die and shed his blood for us. There is no remission of sins without blood. Paul wrote the same thing that we just read, but he put it in a few more words over in Ephesians 1:3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him," in Christ, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Now look at verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of 3 through 5 of 1 Peter chapter 1. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Does not our cup run over when we see the mercies our Lord have bestowed upon us through His Son, the Christ the Lord? What a hope we have. What a hope we all have seen. A hope that was not in us before we were called by the power of God. A hope that rests in that power, keeping us from falling, holding us as an anchor holds a ship. The very power that is of God, and all power in heaven and earth belong to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now look at verses 6 to 8. Wherein, here comes that good milk. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Is not our sister Leanne and her husband Kelly in a great, great trial right now? Have you and I not also been in a great trial at one time or another where the Lord has brought us through it? I recall a time when my brother and his sister went through the worst trial I could imagine anybody had to go through. To watch one of their children die. Pastor Gene actually had it happen in his own arms. And I remember the wonderful, blessed truth that my brother and his wife shared with us, all things, he said to John. The power of God bringing one of his children through such a trial. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Apostle Paul writes it this way. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12:5, of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, in the power, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure, Paul writes, in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now turn over to, in that same chapter, to verse 18, if you would. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Notice it didn't stop at silver and gold. From your vain conversation, it says. From your vain way of life. From your vain way of thinking that you are a God having power over God. It's not God's will, but it's my will. That's saying you have power over God. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish. Without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls, verse 22, in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with pure heart, with a pure heart and fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, because of those things, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. What is your desire? What is your need? Folks, I can tell you this. You can lean on Christ, our Savior. Now look with me, if you would, at verses 4 through 10. To whom? As unto a living stone, disallowed and rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone of the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. But ye strangers, you elect, you chosen of God, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Which in times past were not a people, but are now a people of God. See, we know that we were blind, because now we see. We know that we were not a people of God before, because we acted like we weren't people of God. But now we know, because the Lord has taken up residence in our heart, that we are His. We belong to Him. My desire is to hear about Him. A people are now, which when times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. There was a time we were all without God. We all had walked in darkness of this world. Yet in the day of His love, the day of His power, through the preaching of His word, the word of truth, the child of the Most High is called from that darkness. And the light of His glory, the glory of God, is shed abroad in our hearts, a new heart. It says, ye must be born again. That's not an option. And just like with our mothers, we had no part in that. We have no part in our new birth. It is all of God. He will receive all the glory. We are brought to believe His truths. where once we were dead, now we live. Now, if you would, I'll make this quick. Turn over to Romans. Again, hold your place there in 1 Peter. I think we're going to come back to it for a second. But look over at Romans chapter 9, if you would. Romans chapter 9. Look at verses 25 and 26. Romans chapter 9, 25 and 26. As he saith also in OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and your beloved, which were not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Have you tasted the grace of God? Have you experienced His grace? What I mean by experienced is this. Do you see what you are in the flesh before the Lord? Has He revealed His grace to you in making what you are in Christ Jesus? If you believe that you have tasted the grace of God, for faith or belief is a gift of God, not of works, lest man should boast. Isn't that what it says in Ephesians 2? If you believe that you have tasted the grace of God, then our solid rock is Jesus Christ and Him alone. There is no confidence in the flesh. And it is upon Christ, that solid rock, that I stand. For it says in their song, all other ground is sinking sand. And if you can say amen to that, stand with me if you would.